T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, it's already Tuesday. The week is flying by.
Flying by, right? Flying by.
Flying by. And a Tuesday looks just like a Friday. Kind of looks like a Sunday these days.
Kind of. That's right. Absolutely.
One day at a time, right? One day at a time. It's interesting how time is kind of slowing down, too.
It does.
The good times fly by. The bad times, the uncertain times, just kind of drag. And that's what a lot of people are experiencing right now.
But, you know, I said to Handsome Husband yesterday, we were talking about this thing, and I said, you know, it's so nice to have slowed the pace. Like, now I feel if I do a show and maybe make the kids dinner, that's a huge victory. I have accomplished quite a lot in the day. Whereas before it was, you know, get up, take them to school, go to yoga, have a meeting, get to work. There were 10 million things to do in one day. And now in one day, if I accomplish 2, that's a lot of things. And I'm cool with it. I can see how our parents or our grandparents had a slower lifestyle. And that was good, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to cram so much into our days.
Right. Right.
I'm with you, Jor. Well, look, it's Teacher Appreciation Day. Thank God for our amazing teachers.
That's right.
If it wasn't for a great science teacher in 7th grade and 9th grade, I might have a real job. I don't know if I would have become a meteorologist, but they made the weather unit fun, and I thank God every day for those teachers. It's also Giving Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo. So thank a teacher. Donate or volunteer and maybe brush up on some Mexican history while you're at it. Jor, there's still a lot of finger pointing with the Chinese. Where did this virus originate? I don't think there's doubt. There's
from
no
them.
Doubt it came from China, right? The question is, purposeful, did it just materialize in one of those wet markets? Or was it somehow released from a lab? And a lot of finger-pointing. Some Democrats say the president is trying to deflect blame on the Chinese for not getting serious about this sooner. Intelligence, just shared among U.S. allies, says such a story about this thing originating in a lab is highly unlikely. And the virus probably started in one of those wet markets, as many international leaders and scientists have been saying all along. A senior office of director of national intelligence said, listen to this, George, the U.S. has evidence for both theories, that it started naturally in a market from a bat, and they also have evidence that it may have started from a lab, or it might have accidentally gotten out of a lab. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who I do trust, the nation's top infectious disease expert, said he doesn't believe the virus came from a lab. His quote, if you look at the evolution of the virus in bats and what's out there now, the scientific evidence is very, very strongly leaning toward this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated. Eventually, the truth will come out. But there's, you know, you saw the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, saying we have evidence that this came from a lab. We'll see. But I think it's still an open question. By the way, Fauci remains optimistic. A vaccine may be ready within an historically short period of time. There's one very promising candidate that he thinks may move into advanced clinical trials by early summer. And Anthony Fauci said he thinks a final vaccine could be available for general use as early as January, which would break all records for the speed at which previous vaccines have been developed. So wouldn't that be nice? We don't want to get our hopes up, but one of these is going to pay off. There are over 100 vaccines in development, and one of these is going to pay off, and hopefully sooner than we think.
Fantastic. I know many countries, many private industries, many governments are working on a vaccine. And if it were just a matter of money, I'm sure we would have one by now, but it's not. It is about efficacy. It is about trials. It is about, you know, safety. So we do need to take our time with this, and we need to make sure that it's the right thing for everybody and that the vaccine doesn't do more harm than good.
And as much fun as it is to antagonize the Chinese, what if the cure, what if the vaccine comes from China?
Right.
If we piss them off too much, how are they going to want to share the vaccine with us? I think we need to be a little careful there just in case the vaccine does not come from the United States first. I hope it does. I think it will. Can't guarantee it.
If they can make money on getting us a vaccine, they will share. Do not confuse their socialism with the fact that it's not real capitalism underneath. If they can, and we will pay for the vaccine, and if it does come from China and it's safe, they will take our money. Our money's still green.
Is it?
One thing that's really bothering me today, we had this big discussion on masks yesterday. We opened the phones and we said, are you wearing a mask? Are you not? And people came down on both sides of that argument with why they are or why they are not. I think we have now crossed a line in this country about this ideological argument, which we shouldn't be having anyway. It is your choice. This is still America. Again, you can't go into certain stores now if you don't wear a mask. So you don't have that choice to shop in that store, but you have the option to shop at a different store. But three family members in Michigan are charged with the murder of a security guard who told the family to wear masks when they went into the dollar store. That's what happened. The security guard, Calvin Muirlin, he's 43. He died at a Flint hospital after he was shot in the head. The three people are charged with first-degree premeditated murder. Here's basically what happened. The security guard got into a verbal altercation with the mother of the family after telling her teenage daughter that she needed a mask to enter the store. The mother started yelling at the teenager left the store. The mother started yelling at the security guard, and the security guard asked her to leave the store and told the cashier not to ring her up. They left the store. They came back with what we believe is her husband, the woman's husband, and he shot the security guard in the head. The security guard is dead because he asked somebody to wear a mask. They got mad about it. They went and got somebody else and a gun and came back and murdered the security guard. We have officially crossed the line in this country, and we all need to take a breath and a step back and ask yourself if this kind of ramification is worth whatever ideology you have in your head about masks or not. I tell that story because we're over the edge, folks. So,
you're right.
We're going to do some deep breathing at 3:35. That's going to help us. But just know you're not that crazy person, but people are out there like that. So don't get yourself wrapped up into that kind of ideology, because it is deadly as of today.
Sure, we saw the protests in Michigan, and a lot of people think, again, it's their civil right, right? They have the freedom not to wear a mask. It's almost a badge of honor. Like, either I don't care, I don't take it seriously, I'm not scared of the virus, whatever the reason. But by the way, 60% of the people who took the poll yesterday, 60% of our listeners, at least the ones who voted, do in fact wear masks when they go into stores. Maybe not when they're out walking the dog, but when they go into an enclosed space. Anyway, when we come back, Tim Lammers has some unusual suggestions what to stream. That's next.
We're sailing towards an iceberg. Little white peak in the distance, getting closer and closer, but really it's been underneath us the whole time.
It's nothing worse than a kid.
We have some bad news on the case. The print we lifted from the victim is from your son.
There's got to be an explanation. They go to the same school. Jacob's in his class.
Yes, we know that.
Lynn, have you arrested my son?
Okay, it sounds pretty scary and exciting. It's called Defending Jacob. And joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline is Tim Lammers to review it. Tim's reviews are brought to us by Bradshaw and John and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Tim. Jordana. Hi, Paul. Yeah, it does sound pretty ominous, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. It's an Apple TV Plus series, and it's a real gut punch. I mean, I don't know if you could gather from the sound there, but Chris Evans, Captain America himself, mm-hmm. and Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey, they play parents of a 15-year-old boy accused of killing a classmate. And the series is about how the townspeople react toward them, toward the father, who is an assistant district attorney, but he has to step aside because they're actually trying the kid in the district where they live. Only four episodes so far, but I have to say the filmmakers are really doing a terrific job at keeping you at arm's length who the perpetrator is, because, I mean, it looks like it could be the kid. I mean, he's definitely a convincing suspect, a legitimate suspect, but yet there are other people too. So I would classify this one in the murder mystery category. With the caveat that, look, if you're a parent, you're just going to dread watch. When you're watching it, it's like you can't help but imagine. It's like, oh, my God, what if I were in the shoes of these parents? So it's a real hard-hitting series, but I think it's a really compelling series.
Cool.
Okay. Interesting. You know what? I did see Extraction, I have to admit, and I enjoyed it. And Extraction on Netflix, by the way, stars Chris Hemsworth. And I think he did an amazing job acting. But this thing here, first, let me play a clip. Here's what it sounds like.
This is an extraction.
So who the players?
Biggest drug lord in India versus biggest drug lord in Bangladesh. It's a kidnapping. Drug lord's son. Clock's running at 16 hours. Proof of life is of 6 hours.
Girl. You want to survive, you do exactly as I say.
Who are you?
Name?
Ovi.
I thought it was good, Tim, but I thought it was unnecessarily violent and bloody. It's almost like celebrated the number of people he could shoot.
Sure. You know, I think it's interesting because, you know, obviously another Avenger star, written by one of the co-directors, co-writers of the Avengers, Joe Russo. Yes, ultra-violent, very, very bloody. The premise is that Chris Hemsworth is a mercenary with a dark past. He's troubled by something. We just don't know what exactly. But he takes on a job of rescuing the kidnapped teen son of a drug lord in Mumbai. And the son was kidnapped by another drug lord. So, you know, talk about being in the middle of a very, very deadly situation. I don't know. To me, it just seemed kind of like a by-the-numbers action thriller. The amazing thing is this, they claim, Netflix claim, this is the most watched Netflix movie ever. The original
really?
One. Yeah. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, obviously a lot of people are at home and tuning into this stuff. I mean, but that doesn't always equate to quality, I don't think. I don't know how you feel about this, Paul, but Chris Hemsworth, if you see him in a movie like The Avengers, he has this natural charm as Thor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you put him in another Netflix movie like Six Underground with Ryan Reynolds, where obviously the situations seem to be a bit lighter, I would rather see him in a movie like that where we can see some of that charm. Here, he's just the lumbering, you know, troubled mercenary guy. And I don't know. I just don't think it really used all of his talents like, you know, we're used to seeing in other films.
I agree.
I don't think I'm going to see it just because it's super bloody.
Jordana, honestly, I did think of you with this. I'm thinking you wouldn't do too well. I mean, especially when they get creative with the way
that
Chris Hemsworth dispatches of the bad guys. One included a rake.
Okay. There you go. And scene on that movie review. Yep. So there's a couple other shows we need to discuss.
Yes.
We heard that you just finished Succession, which was a favorite of mine and Paul's. What did you think?
You know, I thought it was terrific. I have to say, I think I like season one better. That's not to say that this wasn't great. It was. I mean, Brian Cox is incredible. Jeremy Strong, I think he is terrific, too. I mean, he's the second oldest son of this media baron. And, you know, the interesting thing is I did confirm that there will be a season three, but it is not going into production yet because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So it will happen at some point. But I almost feel that if the series were to end, I think it ended on a good point. I don't know how you feel about that.
I barely remember how it ended, but I remember loving it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those shows that it's open-ended, obviously, but it's not a huge cliffhanger. We can about, you know, imagine what's going to happen next. But, boy, again, a family full of low-life, slimy, backstabbing.
They're horrible.
I mean, they go after each other. In this own, their own family, they're going after each other. So, yeah, it's an incredible series. I got through it in a weekend again. It's one of those shows you can't stop watching.
It's worth your time to see Succession. I enjoyed it, both seasons. But
Now, Jordana, did you see Afterlife yet?
Okay, we literally just finished it last night. I love Ricky Gervais. And I agree with you that it's excellent, but it was funny in the beginning, and then it got even more depressing. I know that there are lessons learned, but it was really, like, I cried last night. It was pretty depressing.
Oh, yeah. I think, were you surprised? I mean, Ricky Gervais showing the range that he has.
Yeah.
And
he's
thinking
amazing.
To, you know, really the depths of just his, it's incredible. I mean, to see the guy break down, it's like, I can't believe this guy is, we're used to laughing at him, and now we're crying with him.
Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. Okay, I also just finished Outer Banks. Did you watch this one yet?
No, I have not. What do you like it? Or, I mean, is it something that I should...
This came to me from my kids.
Oh,
okay,
really?
My kids said it was the best thing. Yes, best thing, especially my son, who's not a TV guy. You know, he'd rather play video games. They all loved it. It was sort of like Grown-Up Nancy Drew. It's like this mystery. It's a little bit murder, a little bit treasure hunt in the Outer Banks, as you know, Paul, of North Carolina on the islands. And you know what? It was fantastic. Their characters are teenagers, you know, so it's teenage world. It's, I really enjoyed it. There are two seasons and it was great fun and I can't wait for the next one.
Well, I have homework then. I will have to see that and report back to you. I do remember seeing the trailer though. So it looked interesting enough. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes, you know, there could be a lull for a week or two with Netflix or whatever, and then all of a sudden these great shows all come at once. And, you know, it's obviously sometimes I just can't get them all in, so I may end up reviewing them a week later. So I'll definitely put that one on my docket.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate your time as always. Always fun chatting with you. Tim Lammers, Movie Reviews. By the way, we'll see Tim again on Friday. And Tim's movie reviews are brought to you by Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. Find them, MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Feeling a little depressed about this? Is it finally sinking in? Maybe things aren't getting back to normal as quickly as you'd like. We're going to speak with psychologist Dr. Tali Vang from Hennepin Healthcare and get your questions answered next. Time for your meditation moment. In a moment, we're going to speak with Dr. Tali Vang about depression, because it may be sinking in right now. Maybe the financial constraints or whatever you're feeling, whatever sadness, the loneliness from the pandemic that we're experiencing right now may be sinking in and you might be feeling real depression. So we're going to take a moment just to do what's called mindful breathing. It is so easy, but it will change your life. All you have to do is nothing. And when you find yourself doing something, remind yourself to do nothing. All I want you to do is focus on your breath. I don't care how long you breathe. I don't care if it's through your nose or your mouth. Just whatever your thoughts are, refocus them to your breath. Do it with me. Breathe in and breathe out. Think about your breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Two more. Breathe in. And breathe out. Do it one more time. Only your breath. Breathe in and breathe out. And when you feel your thoughts getting away from you, when you feel yourself feeling depressed or out of control, all you have to do is breathe and not think.
Thank you, Jor. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, this is always a hard pivot, going from deep breathing and meditation.
Well, no, it shouldn't be, because we're talking about mindfulness and psychotherapy. So we're going to talk with a doctor who's going to talk to us about depression and the how to help ourselves. And I guarantee, well, Dr. Tali Vang, I won't put words in your mouth, but I imagine that breathing exercises are something that is in full force in your practice. Is that right?
That's right. That is true. Yes. There's so many benefits to it.
Doctor, we're dealing with a plague of loneliness out there. I mean, we've got the plague, and then we have a lot of people who are by themselves. And look, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, we are wired for intimacy. Mm-hmm. We human beings have a biological need for human contact, and we've lost that. So what are you seeing in your practice, and are you seeing an uptick in depression?
Yes, definitely am. And you're right, we are wired to want to be around other people. We want that connection. And so there is a lot of people who are struggling with depression, even people who had not struggled with depression before. And it doesn't necessarily have to be clinical depression to be struggling with some symptoms of depression. There's this thing we consider an adjustment disorder with depression, basically meaning we're adjusting to this new way of being, and we may start to feel more lonely. We may start to feel more tired or just out of energy. And these are all signs of depression. Now, my recommendation for anybody who is maybe feeling like their energy is zapped, maybe they are feeling lonely, maybe they're feeling a sense of emptiness, is to go back to basics. So what do I mean by going back to basics? Making sure that we are hitting about that 8-hour sleep time frame. And the reason why that's important is because for some people who feel more depressed, they may sleep a lot longer. Some people may sleep 12 or more hours. And for others, they may not be able to fall asleep at all. Sleep can be really difficult. So it's really finding that balance. And you know, I find that we can definitely use like alarm clocks and be very intentional about getting up at around that 8-hour time frame to reset our body and to really kind of go back to the basics. And that's also true for foods that we eat and just being out in nature.
Dr. Vang, I remember when I suffered from postpartum depression after two of my three babies, and the second and third ones. And I could not recognize that in myself. And my doctor, who did diagnose me, said, even doctors don't recognize depression in themselves. It's so hard to recognize those symptoms. Just like you were saying, I was sick all the time, you know, strep throat or an infection. I was so tired all the time. I could barely move. And I just thought, oh, I had a baby. You know, we're always talking away the symptoms. Now, if it's true that it's super hard to diagnose in yourself, what do you recommend for people? Because that's really a challenge.
Yeah. So I would recommend just not necessarily coming to terms with whether or not you have depression or not, but just asking yourself if you feel off. Do you feel off balance? Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling unlike yourself, then that is enough, I would say, to take some action, to definitely do things, start to implement things in your life that'll help take action. And I think that can be helpful. It is definitely hard to know exactly what is going on. Maybe you're just having an off day. But I would say, if that is happening, even if, and it can be a day-by-day basis, but let's say today is one of those off days, be intentional about getting out into the sunlight if it's not raining, be getting out into nature. You know, I know a lot of people are doing lawn work and gardening, planting. There's actually science that will say you know, having our hands in dirt and being a part of Mother Earth is actually very healing.
Battered, mm-hmm. baking, right? Baking, cooking. I mean, mm-hmm. gives you a sense of accomplishment. Dr. Vang, last question. When is it time to actually do something? If loved ones or friends or colleagues say something and kind of set off a trigger that you're at home and you're thinking, uh-oh, this person is depressed. I'm worried they might harm themselves. When is it time to get off your butt? And even though we've got the stay-at-home order, at that point you're trying to help somebody, maybe save somebody. When mm-hmm. is it time to actually take action?
Yeah, so when it creeps into that clinical level of depression, I think starting then, how do you know when you're creeping into that clinical level of depression? I would say if you're just a very clear sign, maybe your stack of mail is piling up because you don't even have the energy to go through your mail. Dishes are piling up. You no longer find pleasure or interest in things that you used to find really fun and interesting. Maybe you used to love reading, and now you just don't have the energy or the motivation to even read, and you know that's not like you. These are all signs that you should seek help. And lots of clinics, Hennepin Healthcare, we offer telemedicine now, so you don't even need to go in. You just message your primary care provider. They can get you connected to a therapist, and, you know, you can get connected and start virtual visits. Now, if it's starting to get to the point where coming in into the hospital is something that should be considered, I would say if substance abuse is really, really concerning, if the person is starting to isolate and then also asking them, are you having thoughts of harming yourself? And I think that a lot of times people are afraid to ask that question because they don't want to. There's this misconception that if you ask if someone's having suicidal thoughts, then maybe you may be implanting that thought into their mind, and that's just not true. There's no evidence to suggest that. So just straight out ask them, are you having any thoughts of harming yourself? And if they are, bring them into the emergency room.
Okay. Dr. Tali Vang, thank you so much. We really You're appreciate welcome. Your expertise and your terrific advice. And Dr. Vang is, of course, from Hennepin Healthcare, joined us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Thank you again, Dr. Vang.
Yeah,
thank
welcome.
You, Doctor. Much appreciated. Mm-hmm. When we come back, the governor signed an executive order today providing a roadmap to restart elective surgeries in the state of Minnesota. Sloan Martin in the newsroom breaks it down next.
Welcome back. It's 3:51. Minnesota goes from $1.5 billion in surplus to a projected $2.8 billion in deficit. Yet not a great day for the Minnesota pocketbook. Sloan Martin has more on this. We talked, well, everybody talked about this quite a bit at the Coronavirus Task Force press conference, which happens every day at 2 o'clock here in Minnesota. The governor was there, and he explained more of this. Sloan's joining us now. Hey, Sloan.
Hey, Jordana. Yeah, as you mentioned, the numbers are not good. Yeah. Going back to that February forecast, you put the numbers out there, and you think that's a $4 billion swing from just a couple months ago.
Good grief. But there was a little bit of good news, Sloan. Today, I saw that the governor signed an executive order basically providing a roadmap to restart elective surgeries. A lot of stuff has been put on hold, indefinite hold, for a lot of people. And the concern was that putting these procedures on hold could lead to premature deaths from that. But they have to develop a plan, a procedure to maintain a safe environment for facility staff, patients, and visitors. Any other details that we should be aware of, those of us that have friends and family that have elective surgeries?
It was something that Governor Walz and Minnesota Department of Health officials really grappled over for weeks. And this was something that originated really with those healthcare providers in the healthcare industry wanting to preserve as much critical PPE as possible. Now that what they possess has been fortified a little bit. There still is a lot of competition, but they said just too many people are putting off what could be life-altering, life-changing kind of procedures just because we're a little bit worried about going back into that environment and picking things back up again. So the same thing as businesses, as you mentioned, Paul, healthcare providers have to have plans to conserve PPE, screen patients, and protect staff. But Governor Walz says he's already heard from the Nurses Association that they're a little bit nervous about getting back to work in this way and about their own safety and about just that PPE element that kept them from this in the first place. But I do want to point out an important detail, too. It applies to doctors, dentists, and vets, according to the governor.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, Sloan, I'm sorry, Paul.
No. I'm just
I was just gonna
exclamation.
I was just going to let you know that the Nurses Association put out a press release today after the press conference, Sloan, and I don't know if you got this across your desk yet, but it said that they're frustrated and disappointed about the decision to open the door for elective surgeries. I'm reading it now. The nurses, they say, have warned the governor, health officials, and hospitals that safety must come first before resuming elective procedures, including surgeries, with nurses currently unable to access adequate levels of PPE to address the COVID crisis. Allowing elective procedures to resume would only put added strain on PPE distribution. I guess they feel, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, but according to this press release, Sloan, they must feel they don't have adequate PPE. But you're saying that the governor said he is comfortable with the amount that they currently have, right?
I think that's a perfect way to put it, is that this is not, we haven't gotten to the point where it's a free-for-all and everything's fine and we have so much PPE, we don't know what to do with it. It's that we have enough right now that we feel comfortable with where things are at in terms of the hospital capacity, where we add in terms of not reaching the peak just yet, that they can withstand getting some procedures in. And these healthcare providers are still going to be very stingy on what procedures are going to be going through anyway. So I think there's still going to be people who continue to wait for whatever elective surgery they're waiting for. But think about how many people are waiting for things that are really going to improve their quality of life, their well-being, and maybe even their lives that they've had to put off for months now, probably.
Sloan, we only have less than a minute. Still a lot of pushback on many governors. Minnesota, one of 31 states that is trying to reopen, however slowly, but only one of seven states where the trends are still going in the wrong direction. We still have increasing cases. And even the administration said 14 days in a row of dropping cases. That is not the case in Minnesota. Is the governor getting any pushback?
I think so. I think that you see the protests, and you think that everyone just wants things to be open immediately right away. But there are people, there are workers who do not feel comfortable yet in going back to work. And I think that's a really important perspective to keep in place. Also, consumer confidence. Just because you open a place up doesn't mean that people are necessarily going to be showing up to work. So that's Governor Walz says there's going to be more data influencing this decision than just the 14 straight days of declining cases, because Minnesota, as the MDH says, is far from that. But you have to look at a case-by-case or even a state-by-state basis to see how this testing is done. Minnesota is testing more right now. They are testing more in hotspots, like processing plants and in those small communities. So that is also contributing to where the numbers are at right now.
Sloan Martin, as always, thank you so much. Appreciate your perspective.
We're also going to talk with Deed Commissioner Steve Grove. He's going to be joining us at 5:33 later on CCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.